Hunzi, partner in Parallel Music Publishing and AIMP board member. Welcome to the Nashville Pubcast. Today we are taking a look into the crystal ball with guests Tyler Hubbard, Pat Higdon, Travis Myatt, Ashley Gorley, and Jesse Frazier to see if we can predict the future of the business. Like, if you were going to look in your crystal ball, what do you see coming for the old music row these days? And you can keep it specific to publishing if you want, or if you want to get bigger than that, that's fine as well.
Oh, man. That's a fun question. I don't know. I feel like we try to stay outside the box. I think in publishing world, now that there's writers slash producers, you know, it really lends, you know, you can literally almost leave the room at the end of the day and have a song that sounds like it should be on the radio already, you know, and a lot of, you know, Jordan, Daniel Ross, Corey Kreider, the guys in our building that are producing, it's just on another level, man. It's songwriting like I've never seen done before. It's quicker and more efficient and faster and sounds better. And it's come a long ways from when I moved to town and we're sitting around with a guitar, you know, and a pen and pad, you know. And so it's, I think the future of publishing and songwriting is amazing, especially here in Nashville. And it's just, especially with streaming now and different outlets to get music out. You don't even have to have a record deal anymore to get music heard to the masses. And so a good song can truly work itself, you know. And so that's a cool space to be in. I think we're in a great time in music and, you know, I guess a time of change, which is always exciting.
If I was looking into my crystal ball, do you guys see any trends or on styles or songs or what people are looking for the next, you know, 5 years? Or even, I think this would be hard. Any technological changes? I don't know. Every time you think, well, this is as far as we can go, something happens, but I can't see what's going to change there.
I feel like if I had a solid answer to that, I'd probably be really rich in a couple of years. But
Mark Zuckerberg,
yeah,
or something?
I think, you know, just sitting here with Travis and listening to you talk about him and knowing what I know, I think he's going to be really rich in less than 5 years. He's really good at what he does, and he deserves to be rich. But, you know, rich isn't the barometer. Successful, to me, is the barometer.
Oh, and I could agree with that more.
I've been here for 20-odd years now, and I've never seen a market so broad. It's very exciting if you love different kinds of music.
Yeah, yeah.
But do you feel any transitions or interesting changes coming around?
Just wide up. More, you know, like there are in some other genres where a lot of there can be some more content. Like, I think that'll start happening in the future, meaning it's not just one song that you hear for a full year, you know what I mean? Yeah. Because it takes so long at terrestrial radio, which is fine and great, and everybody's working on that. But I think people can start to put out more than one song at a time, or like other ways of releasing these songs for the fans to have more content, which I think is great. I think there's a lot of in-house development going on, like you've seen with Florida Georgia Line and Sam Hunt and a lot of the really successful things. So we're going to be in the future and have been, and we'll be a part of that, you know, where we can actually, you know, it's a nice freedom to being like, hey, we can go produce a song, we can pay out of pocket, get it mixed, own the master, and get it on playlists, and then go from there. That's way ahead of like, hey, let's sign a developmental deal at a major label, see if anybody's attached to it. We're already invested in these guys, and a lot of people are in the same boat, you know, whether it's Shane or Creative Nation and Luke Laird and those guys, a lot of the writers and producers who can really get incentivized and really cultivate these artists and who they're going to be, and then a label can come along, you know, and you can, they get a better picture of who the artist is, you know, by doing that. So it kind of works better both ways. You know what I mean? They're not just coming in playing one song on guitar. It's like, well, these are the three songs that we've put out already, you know, that have had this success. And that's really cool, because it's like, instead of like, hey, let's hope that everybody agrees this is great, you can at least on some scale release it to the masses and see if they agree with us or not, without having to get, you know, without all the red tape up front. I mean, it's still there. You gotta have the label, and we love all the labels and want to always eventually find everybody a home that we work with, but you can also, you know, not feel like you're spinning your wheels. So I think a lot of that kind of development, a lot of the like you said, the bandwidth now is so big. There's different markets, different things where people are having success, whose songs may not be made just for, you know, contemporary radio or whatever, and that's cool if it's Casey Musgraves and Chris Stapleton and people off the grid where, like, hey, they can tour and you can, you know, you can be a big part of those artists. So it's kind of up for anything. It can be really, really I love right now hearing a really country song, a shuffle right next to a song that has a lot of R&B pop cadence to it. You know, I think that's what everybody likes, is a lot of variety, and right now that's happening, so it's cool.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I have a little attention deficit issue, so musically I'm the same. As you know, you know, I've listened from everything from metal to whatever, but same. I love the flow and the excitement of different tunes and people accepting it. And I also really like that fact we're basically doing the early market research for labels of really helping brand. I don't always love that word, but there's no other way to put it, of these artists and helping them find themselves. And really, it's great.
It's cool. I love it. Yeah, you invest to where, you know, when I sign somebody, if it's an artist writer, if it's Hunter, then I'm not just like, we'll just try a bunch of songs and wait for somebody to pick one that they think is a hit. It's more than that. It's like, hey, we could release three or four things that kind of define who you are as an artist, and then see what people gravitate toward as this. It's just a different way of doing it. Then see what people gravitate toward.
And you can be surprised. The one you may not have picked, the one you can, and you get the data. You get to see the, like, what's hitting and what people like. As a research nerd as well, the amount of data you can collect and see from putting stuff out is really, really almost crazy. Overwhelming at some points, but it's really great for building. I think it's going to make our market stronger and artists stronger in the long run, because, again, it gives them a clear vision of what's working, and it gives them that direct relationship with their fan base, which is,
I think it's great. I mean, I'm excited about all that, you know, about some different things like co-owning some masters, like working on the production, a lot of pre-production, maybe even actually producing the EP or the two songs or whatever it calls for. You know, if an artist may be represented better by three songs, or they may be represented by a huge body of work that's 20 songs, and you don't have to worry about it. You know, it's whatever it calls for, and you can treat each person kind of separately.
One of the questions I like to ask people that I kind of start wrapping up on is, we look to the future, you know, do you see, like, for yourself, particularly because I think you're one that kind of stays on the forefront because you're getting a lot of opportunities, and again, you're pretty market broad here. Do you see any trends, anything coming around that you'd like to share? Because you may not want to give away some of your secrets, but you know.
No, I mean, you know, one thing I love about the town right now is that there are people that are giving away secrets. When I first was coming up specifically, for an example, production, I remember going on like online forums going, how does Ryan Tedder get this drum sound? Or, you know, nowadays I give Brandon a sample library his first day there. You know, I would have killed to have someone going, no, dude, you're using the wrong thing on your tube bus. Or, you know, you shouldn't do a contract this way. You should structure it this way. So I feel like it's our job to keep our mind open, don't get jaded. We watched, when we were coming up, man, there was some really prolific, amazing writers that you watched hit a jaded wall. And, you know,
I call it the bitterness, man. You can't fix that. Yeah. I can fix a lot of frustrations, but when the bitterness creeps in, even on the business side, you see someone getting overly bitter, that is one emotion. I knew with a lot of creatives and a lot of range of emotion, bitterness, nope.
Yeah.
You can't fix it, man. It takes you down an ugly path.
Yep. So, you know, basically where I sort of operate is genreless songwriting for the most part. You know, that's sort of a broad term because we all know as creators, sometimes we'll get going and go, okay, clearly this is a country song.
All right.
But I like to find genreless creators in the sense that no one's too cool for school. Brandon would just as much love to get on a Maddie and Tay record as he would an opportunity to write with Post Malone. He just loves commercial music, as does Carrie, as does Steven, as does myself. I love all commercial music, any genre.
If it hits you, it hits me.
I love hooks, you know. So I think that if you start there and surround yourself with those kind of people. Now, that's saying some of your listeners may want to be singer-songwriter artists. It's a different thing.
I'm saying
if you want to be a commercial songwriter, open-mindedness, you listen to your team, you find your own brand, you don't chase, you know, and so that sounds, that's something that people say all the time. And you're like, oh, yeah, great. Find my own brand. What the hell does that mean? It just sort of means, look, what moves you? You know, even to this day, I'm careful that I don't do too much business writing. In other words, sometimes your calendar, you look back and you're like, man, I got started by just sort of doing whatever with whoever I thought was kind of cool. And now there's just so much business writing, you know, with this hit songwriter and this hit songwriter, and they're all amazing. But I also want to make sure I take time to work with this kid that we heard his voice somewhere and we love him, or this young producer I want to do a collaboration on, and make time for that stuff. You know, and then the other thing is just the climate of the business. This is the, I feel like we're still working things out, you know, obviously dollars and cents wise. It's a tough time in some aspects. However, the creative climate here is the coolest it's ever been. I mean, the people that come through town to collaborate, the stigmas are crumbling little by little. Now, it's still there. I mean, I can go out to LA and write next week and tell them the number ones I've had, and half the artists they won't know, whereas I'll know every single one that they work with. Yeah. And that's okay. Pop music is always going to be bigger. But the stigma of country, and specifically Nashville, is way different than...
Right. When I started out, I would call the current market we're in, as far as musically, is what I'd call a utopia. Because when I started, it was very... The people just really weren't as open, I guess is the best word. And it is really fun for me on the same level as everybody comes to town. I don't care if it's rock, pop, R&B, soul. It's all here. And the creator environment, the writers and the producers, they're open and it's fun. And I think that's what makes Nashville the coolest place in town still. Thanks for listening to the Nashville AIMP Pubcast. For more information, check out AIMP.org or follow us at Nashville AIMP on Instagram. The Nashville AIMP would like to give a shout out to our sponsors, Jamber and Sound Exchange. Jamber wants to know if you're looking for an easier way to capture song splits at the point of creation and organizing your catalog. Jamber is our podcast sponsor, and they are offering listeners a first look at their songwriter and publisher apps that allow songwriters to collaborate when inspiration strikes. Go to jamber.com/AIMP to sign up today. Sound Exchange develops business solutions for the entire music industry. They collect and distribute royalties on behalf of more than 155,000 recording artists, master right owners, and music publishers. Sound Exchange have paid out more than $5 billion in royalties. SX Works serves the licensing administration needs of music publishers around the world and operates CMRRA, which represents music publishers and administers mechanical rights for the majority of songs recorded, sold, and broadcast in Canada. Thanks for listening to this series of the AIMP Nashville Pubcast. Stay tuned for Season 3 in 2019.